Welcome to the Sacred Feminine Power Podcast, where we explore the many facets of feminine power and why it is so important for women and for men to step into this power in our world at this time. This is Emmy from Feminine Revered, and I am super excited to introduce you to today's guest, Anasuya Basu. Anasuya is a midlife renewal health coach, helping women to stop worrying about aging and love their midlife bodies. She's a certified holistic nutrition consultant and a craniosacral and acupressure therapist with over two decades of experience. She offers her clients science-based analysis as well as a deeply intuitive approach that activates a woman's self-healing ability. Anasuya is a California naturalist and a steward of 5 acres in the Sierra Cascade foothills. On her days off, you may find her gardening with friends, stacking firewood, or carving a spoon out of freshly cut manzanita. Welcome, Anasuya.
Glad to be here with you, Emmy.
Thank you. It's a blessing to have you with us, and I am super excited to see where our conversation is going to flow today.
Me too.
Thank you. Now, since my podcast is called Sacred Feminine Power, I love to start by asking my guests, what does sacred feminine power mean to you personally?
It means loving myself, it means loving ourselves no matter what, loving our bodies no matter what, honoring ourselves, feeling that goddess within. It means honoring our Mother Earth and feeling a deep connection with nature. And it means seeing divinity in others. When I think about the divine feminine, I'm reminded of in my early 20s, I studied meditation with an Indian guru named Swami or Gurumai Chidvilasananda. She was just 5 years older than me. So when I first met her, she was in her late 20s. So this would have been in the early 1980s. And I ended up living in her meditation centers or her ashrams for a decade. And the core teaching was, to see divinity in yourself and others. And then everything flowed from that. Like, how do you do that when you can't stand the person that you're working with? How do you do that when, you feel really hurt when someone offended you, or like, all of those kinds of things. And she was just such a beautiful, important, sacred teacher to me. And I feel like from that time, I wasn't interested in doing healing work of any kind, because you would have to listen to people's problems then. And that sounded really depressing as a young woman. But once I understood that core piece, see the divinity in yourself and others, then it was no trouble for me to hear the suffering of others, and then natural healing tendencies of mine came through. So I think of Guru Mai when I think of the divine feminine as well, because she was such a powerful teacher for me. I also think honoring the divine feminine, seeing that sacredness, is like honoring every stage of life that you're in. So I work a lot with midlife women who are shocked to find themselves getting wrinkled and gray-haired and, a little chubby around the middle and all those things that can happen. And it just can feel, also to feel our fertility waning, going, gone. And I feel like when we honor the stage of life that we're in, that's honoring the divine feminine. It's no accident that we have different stages in life. I think originally we were meant in a healthy community. There's people around who can mentor you and guide you and support you, as you can do for others. But, our communities are broken up a lot. So when we don't have that, we can feel nothing but the challenges of a particular age. In a healthy community, you have people to support and guide you to see the gifts. And there are so many gifts in aging. And honoring the gifts in aging, honoring ourselves as we age, is a way of honoring the sacred feminine.
Wow. Thank you for that, Anasuya. You've brought in so many beautiful portals for us to dive deeper into. And I really resonate very strongly with everything that you shared. And wow, I didn't know about your 10 years in the ashram. For the sake of our listeners, Anasuya and I have known each other for a couple of years now. We were together in the same coaching program. And I resonate very strongly with Anasuya and her work and her vibration and her personality. But I did not know that about you. So just another layer to who you are, Anasuya. So thank you for sharing that. That's really fascinating.
Sure.
Now, I would love to hear from you, Anasuya, before we go deeper into any of those portals that you opened for us, about a challenge that you have faced on your path that's really helped you to activate sacred feminine power within you.
Well, I married someone that I met in the ashram, who I also worked with. And for 20 years, we were together on it. It felt like we created a beautiful home together, and we bought property in the country to make a dream home. And I was just devastated when I discovered he was having an affair and our marriage ended. And I just felt, you know, just horrible, as one would. And as I felt my life just coming down around, like, what to do about that house in the country, what to do about this, that, or the other thing, and how could I lose this person and this marriage, I closed my eyes for meditation, and I just saw nothing but flames. Like, it was, felt like the flames of my inner divinity. You know, it just felt like I am, like, it's as much as it felt like my life was falling apart, it was like saying to me, you are powerful. You are strong. You know, that divine light will lead you. And it did. You know, it took some things. I think one of the gifts of aging is knowing how to ask for help. As a teenager, I was very self-destructive when I was depressed and did not know how to ask for help, as I think many teenagers don't. But as an older woman, I knew how to ask for help, and I got help from many wise women and was able to get through a transition that was, you know, difficult and painful, and really come out even more authentic and more creative and living my, like, a truer life than I ever have before. And so, that was certainly a difficult time, but I felt like all the gifts of healing, you know, that I had cultivated, all my understanding at that point, just, you know, came to bear, and I was able to get through that time, and ultimately it was better. Didn't feel very good at the time, though.
Yeah, a lot of friends of mine who've also gone through often painful, difficult divorce processes end up saying, once they are on the other side of it, that no matter how painful it was, it actually is better this way. Now that they're kind of stepped into their own power through that process, and perhaps even learned to honor themselves at a deeper level.
Absolutely. Sure.
Mm-hmm. How would you say, I mean, you already alluded to some of the hidden blessings of that process around the divorce, but how would you say what you discovered about yourself then is now supporting you in the healing work that you do?
This understanding that, you know, some relationships, no matter how much you love the person and how much you love your own love for that person, how much that love is sustaining you, as it seems like it is, that it, you know, relationships may have their limits. That relationship might only be able to take you so far. And it's like you can't know until they dissolve. I'm for people, you know, working to make their relationships last a long time, because I believe in that, and I believe in the beauty of a really long term relationship. But sometimes there's nothing for it to let it go. And yes, that feeling of being guided by that inner divinity is, you know, tremendously meaningful to me. And I do feel so grounded in my self-love in a way that I never have before when I was younger, and so grounded in my sense of faith, which is not a given. You know, I think one kind of has to work on faith, like one has to kind of work on any relationship. Having a relationship with the divine is a kind of a mysterious thing, but I'm stronger in my sense of that, my sense of myself. So that was a good result.
Yeah, for sure. And I love how you said this sense of being softer with yourself, this softer loving towards yourself. That is so, so very beautiful. And again, as you pointed out, so many younger women often lack that by virtue of having been brought up in a society that kind of makes us loathe ourselves in many ways, and to think that there's always something wrong with us, rather than encouraging us to truly root into who we are and love ourselves exactly the way we are. How do you find this coming through with the women that you work, especially in the midlife transition?
Well, right now I'm leading a group detox called Love Your Midlife Body. And I call it Love Your Midlife Body because I really, really believe in the actions, taking actions that specifically express to your body that you love her. And that can often mean eating healthy foods and letting go of foods that you might be addicted to or compulsive about, and just allowing that to shift to support organs of detoxification. We live in an environment that where we come across a lot of toxins, and just supporting our bodies to be able to get more clear of that, take some of the static off the screen, so to speak, in the way we experience our bodies. And so in this realm, I'm with, there's 11 of us, well, 12 of us, including me, because I'm also doing this detox, which I do every single year. It helps me so much to just get back on track in a renewed way with my healthy eating. And I think it's one of the contributing reasons why I feel so good as I age. I'm 62 now, and you know, I'm chainsawing firewood and lifting weights, and you know, I don't know, I have a lot of fun with my body. It can do things with my body, and I feel happy about living with her. But there's that moment when we face a craving and we say to ourselves, okay, I'm not going to have that second cup of coffee, or I'm not going to have that after dinner treat. And I've made, you know, there's good logical reasons why I shouldn't have that, you know, whether it's weight, whether it's blood sugar, whether it's insomnia. There's, you know, some of these foods can really impact us negatively. We can understand that. We can say, okay, great idea, I'll get these things out of my diet. And then you're faced with that moment when you want that thing. And, you know, the adult in you says, yes, but we're not having that right now. And this other part of you says, what? I want it. And it's almost like an abyss opens up inside. Some women feel like maybe they have no willpower and they just charge through and they have whatever it is anyway. Other women just can feel like miserable with the struggle of it. Some women make compromises, which I think is perfectly legitimate to do, and just maybe have one or two bites, but then they feel bad about themselves. And I think there is this tremendous self-criticism that comes up, partly because, well, a lot of us have been trained to think that if you criticize yourself, that's one way to whip yourself into shape, right? And to get yourself to behave properly. But, and other people self-criticize just because, you know, they're, it's so easy to look. There's so many lenses on us, you know, there's so much, so much media that we're exposed to. Then we look at ourselves through all these lenses of media and we don't measure up. And that can feel terrible too. And one of the gifts of midlife is you get to midlife and it starts to shift. As your hormones shift, you start to not care so much what other people think. You start to be more able to go, well, what do I think? And so how can I deal with this self-criticism differently? And so there's ways of speaking with yourself as, you know, as if you're a mother talking to a daughter saying, I know you're really stressed. I know you had a hard day. I know you want that thing and it would feel comforting and soothing, but you know, we decided for good reasons not to have that. So let's do something else. Let's distract ourselves with something else. So there's ways to make that, that facing that craving moment better. But facing the craving moment is so painful that I understand why we don't do it. We don't say, I won't have that thing. But it's worth it because it's like a leap. You know, you cross, you jump over that leap, you make that leap, you cross over that little chasm, you're on the other side. And being free of cravings is one of the most ecstatic feelings. You know, you don't know it until you're there and you feel like, oh, I'm not always nagged by gotta have this, gotta have that, I need to make myself feel better this way or that way. And you can just feel more peaceful and relaxed and comfortable in your body. And it's a worthy journey to take.
So you're saying, Anasuya, that it's actually entirely possible not to have cravings at all, or just to know how to manage them when they arise?
A lot of cravings will dissipate. One, if you just avoid the cravings for a week or two, maybe 3 weeks, a lot of the cravings will disappear when you're getting the nutrition that you need to have balanced brain chemistry and balanced blood sugar and have a supported hormonal balance. The cravings will disappear. There's a lot of reasons to have cravings. It's your body saying, I need something, but we really don't need candy. That's yes. Not it.
Very, very true. No, I recognize a lot of what you're saying in myself as well. I've been on a very long roller coaster journey with food myself and my body too, having had anorexia at the age of 12 and being no stranger to binge eating. And now, of course, in a much, much better place, both in terms of loving my body as exactly as she is and, you know, really nourishing my body with the kinds of foods that I know are good for her. And yet those cravings do come up, especially in certain times of my menstrual cycle. And if I'm feeling down, for example, I still notice like that emotional eating is something that I would turn to quite easily if I didn't know how to stop myself. And for me, it's not candy. For me, it's bread, and it's sourdough bread, and it's rye bread, and it's the so-called healthy type of bread. And I've worked a lot with this and I understand where it's coming from. It's for me, it's associated with notions of safety and feeling loved when I am eating a piece of bread, for example. So what would you say, Anasuya, are some of the most common reasons for those cravings? You mentioned a couple, but like from the emotional perspective, why do women get those cravings, or any one of us, men and women?
Well, I think there's a lot of physiological reasons why we have cravings, as there's a lot of physiological reasons why we have emotions. And I'll just share this story. I used to think that I just had black moods sometimes. Really out of the blue, I'd get like really terrible moods, like so dark. And I would think, well, what the heck is going on? Because my life is perfectly fine. Nothing is that much different than yesterday. And why am I in this abyss? And it occurred to me that I was taking some antimicrobials that were throwing off my my gut bacteria, which they didn't like that. And for me, it had a particular effect on my brain, a particular effect on my emotions. And isn't that wild that your ecology of your gut can so affect how you think and feel about the world? So that's just one reason why there's so many different physiological reasons. So I'm really interested in how we can shift our physiology and then shift our outlook and our emotions. But I think I really want to speak to forgiveness about ourselves, because can we please forgive ourselves for having these compulsions? Can we please forgive ourselves for, you know, having the influence of all this easy access, delicious bread, donuts, whatever it is for us? It's, you know, the access is so much easier now, but we have the physiology of how our ancestors lived, you know, 10,000 years ago when there were no donuts or sourdough bread, or, you know, like, you know, we have such excruciatingly, I think, warped expectations of ourselves. And we are ancient beings living in a modern world, and it's bound to get out of balance. And can we please be gentle with ourselves as we bring ourselves back into balance, so that we can experience that ancient history of our natural beings, who we are as we express ourselves. That's, I guess that's what I want to say. There needs to be a lot of self-forgiveness, you know, because it's not your fault, you know, and you've done such a wonderful job of bringing yourself into balance over and over and over again. And you get some cravings sometime, and then you go, oh, I need to bring myself back into balance again. And that's natural and beautiful, and you're doing a great job. So anyway, I just wanted to bring up that part about forgiving ourselves.
Yeah, very, very important, and such a huge component of self-healing overall, and often very, very challenging to do as well.
Yeah, and I just related to that. I just noticed leading groups of women through these things is we will make one step or two steps or three steps forward in our beautiful self-nourishing care, and we'll have one oops moment, and all we think about is that oops moment. All we think about is what we didn't do and what we didn't do right and what we did wrong and how we're never going to do anything, how this is never going to work for us. And you ignore the three beautiful things that you did that were positive steps forward. And that doesn't work very well. So celebrate each positive thing. And it sounds like you are doing many, many positive things for your health.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly am. And it's a very conscious journey for me nowadays. So really, that learning to love my body has been a beautiful journey in so many ways. So yeah, absolutely. Now, Anasuya, I know you also talk about, as part of this, learning to love ourselves exactly the way we are, and learning to come to terms, especially with our midlife bodies. You talk about the cultivation of the feeling of being a queen. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Oh boy, this really helped me recently. I was working with a man who was getting irritated with me. And I started to feel uncomfortable on my own property. And I was like, I had to figure out how to talk to him and how to shift this behavior and how to rectify this situation. And what the core feeling that helped me was to feel I am the queen of my property. I am a queen. And when I think of myself as a queen, I don't go, oh, you know, I have to be tiptoeing around this person, or I have to let him have his way or he'll be mad at me, or, you know, like that kind of thing. It's like, no, I'm a queen and this is my property. And if he's not going to behave well, he cannot be on my property. And I think this feeling of being a queen, it's similar to, you know, like a feeling like I am a goddess. And I can't cross her and other people can't cross her. Like that feeling of working against her is not the path for me or other people who interact with me. And I don't know how, it's a funny way to say it, but it's like, it's really honoring the intrinsic divinity and strength within myself. If I do it, then I know how to insist on that others treat me well as well.
That's such a beautiful archetype to work with, especially when we are going in the phase of midlife in our lives, because archetypally we also are in the queen phase, the mother phase, yeah, or the queen phase, and to really learn to embody that from that perspective of the noble sovereign unto oneself, and one who has truly married herself and honors, yeah, and respects herself as a woman, as a goddess. That is, yeah, a really, really powerful archetype to work with. So thank you for sharing that with us.
I think it also involves acknowledging your decades of skills and skill building and experience and knowledge, mm-hmm, and wisdom. And I think sometimes midlife women can be more fixated on, okay, I'm not looking the way I used to look, or people are ignoring me now because they're looking at the younger people and I'm feeling invisible. But we ourselves really need to just really understand what it means to have had decades of life experience. And there's something about when we do acknowledge that, that just makes you just take that queen position in your body and in your being and in your stance in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love what you said there about stance as well, because when I consciously try and embody that archetype, my posture changes. I stand in a different way. It's like nothing can shake me. I'm in my power. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And not in a self-centered way, or in a what's the word that I'm looking for here? Not in an obnoxious or egoistic way, but really just acknowledging your true power, your true essence, and, yeah, allowing that to shine.
Yeah. And there's something that sometimes women get into where we want to make ourselves not have a big ego, not be obnoxious, not be too full of ourselves. But we talked a lot about the ego in, you know, ashram life. And it took me a while to understand that having this small, retiring, it's just little old me here, and I'm not very good at things, but I'm humble. Like, that is just as egotistical as I'm the best at everything. You know, it's the same two sides of the same coin. We want that inner beauty to shine. That is the truth. That's not egotistical. That is just natural truth.
Yeah, so very true. And I think especially for us women, it can often be hard to do that because we are afraid of jealousy from other women, or we don't necessarily want the attention from men or from other women. And there's a whole lot of layers that, again, we've been conditioned to think around this, isn't it?
Yes. And it does happen sometimes where some women, it's the funniest feeling when some women, I have had this sometimes in my life, it's always a surprise to me because I do have a self idea of like, I'm just a small person, but you know, I will stand up in leadership in a social situation. And then some women don't like that. Like, I don't know, that jealousy, like they should be the leader, but they didn't step up or something. I don't know what it is. It happens from time to time, not often. And I think it's a natural thing in a way, but not being afraid of that, not letting that stand in the way of you shining, because, you know, people need you to step up with your natural leadership.
Yes, for sure. Especially in these times of transition, when we are moving from the reality that we've been accustomed to live in to something very different that we're collectively building now all around the planet. I think it really does require for many, many more of us to be that queen, to step into a power, into a sacred feminine power specifically, and to shine our lights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it would be interesting to figure out what is it that the women who get jealous when you stand up and you're queen, like, what is it that they're needing? It's an open-ended question for me, and I'm open to receiving answers from the universe.
Yeah. And for me, that really speaks to the sister wound, what I call the sister wound, around how we've been programmed over centuries, thousands of years, to push each other down rather than lift each other up, and to constantly criticize and judge and compare and contrast and just see the worst in each other, rather than support each other in shining and being our truest selves. So there's a whole lot of layers that goes into that as well.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, Anasuya, is there anything else that is arising for you that you feel is really important to share with our listeners right now?
I think I want to share something that I'm just thinking about these days. I offer these programs called Wise Women Circles from time to time. Not often, it's a little sporadic. If you're on my mailing list, you'll hear the notice of it. But I am finding them so incredibly beautiful, Emmy. It's asking women to step into their wisdom and just play the role of being wise just by being themselves. Mm-hmm. And we pick a topic, sometimes a difficult topic. And I lead it as a council, like as a speaking circle adapted for Zoom. And recently we had one on screen addiction and having a digital detox, and I brought it up because I am having sometimes that trouble where I can't stop looking at YouTube or Twitter or whatever it is, you know, and I spend more hours than reflects my true values of how I want to spend my time. And it's just ordinary women. Anyone shows up who shows up. They speak of their own experience. And in the end, we came up with, we each set a sacred intention for how we wanted to shift our behavior. And it's hard to describe how incredibly moving it is to be in the company of women just standing and allowing themselves to speak and to share their natural wisdom. And I changed my behavior. And you know how addictive screens can be. Very hard to change that behavior. Mm-hmm. I changed my behavior. Now I have 2 to 3 hours in the morning completely without a device, sometimes very silent. And I've been doing it for, you know, it's been 2 weeks now. So I just want to say that this, how women can come together and help each other, and our wisdom, our collective wisdom, creates something entirely new that none of us had ever thought of. And it's so inspiring. And I'm just loving being in the flow of that.
That sounds really beautiful and powerful. Yeah, I'm going to sign up to your mailing list now as well and start checking out your Wise Woman Circles more deeply as well. So thank you for doing that. I know you offer a lot to women all around the world, and I really, really appreciate the work that you do. If our listeners wanted to find out more about you and perhaps work with you, Anasuya, where would they go?
Have a website. mybodywisdom.net. That's mybodywisdom.net. And I have a free gift. It's called Jumpstart Your Midlife Miracle. And it's the key steps to take to kind of revamp your midlife so that you can really start a beautiful new chapter feeling, you know, more in yourself as a queen. mourn yourself as the goddess. And it's a short e-course. It is self-guided. At the end, you write a midlife manifesto. And if anyone writes their midlife manifesto, you are welcome to email it to me, and I would be happy to reflect back to you about that. So just know I love reading women's midlife manifestos. Oh my God, they're so uplifting and gorgeous. So just wanted to share that.
Thank you. Sounds very empowering. Definitely. Well, thank you, Anasuya, for coming onto the show. You've shared so much with us in such a short amount of time. And I really, really appreciate your embodied wisdom and your vibration and the way you are shining your light in the world. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Emmy. It's so wonderful to know you and to have this conversation. It's beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Now, everybody, just for a moment, let's focus our awareness and our energy on this beautiful, inspiring vibration and energy that's been activated during this interview. And imagine sending this energy to everybody and everything on our planet to remember that we are all truly one, and that the more of us have the courage to step into our sacred feminine power and our queendom, the more quickly our planet will also ascend and heal. Thank you so much for listening.